Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you watching Big Ten basketball and beyond on BTN. Timmy Miles getting mic'd up. You saw an excerpt from the video. He thinks they're in. Can't wait to talk to Rick Pizzo in 1 hour. He's doing the interview. Our dear friend Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, with us today. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and magazine in about 15 minutes. He is back from Olympic coverage. He knows Nebraska basketball. He knows curling. And we'll talk tournament resume, tournament possibilities for Nebraska basketball with the pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, a special Tuesday edition. It is March Madness, so the end of the week, Dolman will be doing conference title games, conference action, so we'll grab him when we can get him. Bill Dolman coming up at 5:25. Plenty of room for you today on Hail Varsity Radio. Can chime in, can tap the line. Shellingbridge Court can tap house, lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So yesterday, very emphatic that Nebraska's headed to the NIT. And I still think that is the case. There is new data out there. Tim Miles is being very proactive. Let the campaigning begin, right? Not only with the interview with the Big Ten Network, but also some data he fired out on Twitter not long ago, and we'll get to that in a minute. I hearken back to Seinfeld. It's not a lie if you believe it. Thank you, Costanza. Listen, if Nebraska gets in, I will be absolutely shocked. I'll be mesmerized. I'll be wowed. Colton will get a tattoo commemorating the fact that Nebraska basketball got in. Colton, now that you've agreed to do this, in the event Nebraska gets into the NCAA tournament, what are you going to be getting? Where are you going to get this Nebraska basketball 2017-18 tattoo?
I think I'm going to put it on my shoulder blade. One of the two.
Because that'll feel good.
One of the shoulder blades, and it'll say, not only will it say that they got in, but it'll be that they got in the play-in or the bye round.
Right.
They got out of it, you know.
Whatever.
We can add to it.
I'm just kind of volunteering you because you're a good dude. I don't expect you to get a tattoo a la Rick Pitino style, but it'd be kind of cool if you did. So just think about that. I'll raise some funds to help pay for it.
Hey, if they ever won a national championship, I'll get a tattoo.
Okay. Well, you're asking a hell. Are you just basketball or football or what?
Basketball.
Okay. You had to pause there and go, I didn't think there's a chance they could make it happen in football, yeah. But basketball. Okay. Here's Tim Miles. I had a chance to meet Howard Schwab when he was with ESPN. Remember the Schwab? With the game shows and the data and the research. He's now with Fox. He's now kind of doing the bracketology end of things for them. And here's an excerpt. We'll talk to Pizzo more here in less than an hour about the interview with Coach Miles. Here is Coach Miles, and let it fly here. He thinks they're in.
Lose to Michigan, which hurts you perception-wise. But you lose to Michigan, which hurts you perception-wise, but Michigan goes on to win it, so your victory over them during the regular season becomes more valuable. It seems counterintuitive. Are we assessing this the right way?
Well, here's what I know. We're in. That's what I know. I don't care what old Howie, what's his name, your bracketologist guy says. He's full of it. You know, I honestly think that we're in. I mean, I just look at so many things. And the first thing I look at is that a 13-win Big Ten team, there's been 61 of them. All 61 have been in.
History is on their side. History is on Nebraska. Okay, history is on a Big Ten team with 13 conference wins side. Here is the tweet from Coach Miles. On a side selfish note, I did. Tim Miles has Twitter. Apparently, Tim Miles' dog, Sammy, has Twitter. And Sammy was our first dog's name. She is no longer with us. So this Sammy is pretty cool. As a side gig for my dog, I have challenged Sammy Miles, or Roz Schmidt has challenged Sammy Miles to a game of one-on-one. We'll figure that out later. We'll make it a reality if Nebraska gets into the tournament. TeamRankings.com. Rack your brain. Do you go there? Do you know the site? I don't. I do now because it was tweeted out by Tim Miles. And TeamRankings.com predicts, and I talked to Vogues, and Vogues is so good with knowing websites that project and do a lot of things. And here's what TeamRankings.com does. So this is a glimmer of hope. You're telling me that there's a chance. Cue it with me. Say it with me from Dumb and Dumber. That Nebraska does get in. I don't know what I'll do if they get in. Probably smile and be happy for Nebraska basketball fans. I can't see it. It's not that I don't want them or they don't deserve it. I just think they lost their opportunity. But the campaign started. We'll talk to Rick Pizzo about that. But here is what TeamRankings.com does. Every day they do thousands of computer simulations of college basketball season throughout the college basketball season, including the remaining regular season games, conference games, selection, and seeding, and the NCAA tournament itself. Okay, your one seeds, no shockers here. Virginia, Villanova, Xavier, Duke. Kansas is at a two. Sparty and Purdue are at a two. And then you have Michigan and Ohio State at a four. Okay? You'll be able to see the full Tim Miles interview. Maybe we'll play the whole thing for you here as soon as it is done airing. So what you have here is you have Nebraska in, according to TeamRankings.com, and the percentage chance. What was the percentage chance of snow today? I saw 40 to 60%. It looked like crap this morning when it was coming down, right? What's the percentage chance that it's going to rain later this week? It varies. It changes day by day based on who wins, what chalk wins. You know the story about who can and who does sneak in. But right now, TeamRankings.com predicts that there's a 79.3% chance Nebraska's in the dance. Okay, they have Nebraska as a 12 seed, along with Syracuse, along with Marquette, along with South Dakota, along with Northeastern and Buffalo. So you're likely in a play-in. I would love this. I would love for Craig Smith and South Dakota to win the Summit tonight. And I would love to see me some Nebraska, South Dakota, 12-v-12 in Dayton Tuesday night. Both those guys love each other. They respect each other. As a Nebraska fan, you can't thank Craig Smith enough for helping 2013-14 be a reality and get to the dance. But that would be awesome. That would be fantastic. And there's a lot of Nebraska kids at South Dakota. And, Nebraska is Nebraska. But right now, TeamRankings.com has a lot of these teams that are in on ESPN's latest bracketology report. On Joey Buckett's list, right? He has, or they have, Texas out. Okay? They have Kansas State out. They have Arizona State out. They have Bama out. They have Louisville out. They have UCLA as high as a 9 seed. I mean, they have some straight-up bubble teams right now that are last four out type teams. It's crazy. HaslamEntries.com has Nebraska. So I'm giving you two sites here. Two sites that have Nebraska in. One at 79% chance they get in. The other, Nebraska's a last four bye in. Arizona State, Nebraska, UCLA, St. Mary's are your last four in that don't participate in the play-in game. He has Texas and Baylor and Providence and Bama as the last four in. Last four out, Marquette, Penn State, Cuse, Boise. Next four out, Louisville, Okie State, USC, and LSU. What do you believe? Does this give you a little shot of confidence, a little shot of hope? Yes, it should. Do you think it's likely? I mean, you have these different sites. You have different projections. There is math behind it. It's also about clicks. Don't lie. But above all, Coach Miles has done a phenomenal job here of changing the conversation on Tuesday with the outlets in Nebraska and all the media choices from, well, crap, it's the NIT. Well, crap, are they going to play well in the NIT? Are they going to care? Like it's a foregone conclusion. That was me yesterday covering this team because of the disappointment. Also including the fact that Michigan played awesome basketball, and if you're going to go down by 19 to somebody, might as well go down to the champ. Well, you've changed the conversation because what you're hearing out there you don't like. So flip it around. Find some areas that give Nebraska some due credit and promote that. Promote the place that says you're in. You're in and there's no play in. Promote the side that says, yeah, you're in at a 79% clip. Go on BTN right now with this campaign. Sit down with Pizzo and say, you know, screw you, Schwabi. We're in. We're in because history says we're in. So my question is, what happens a week from yesterday? Can you, as Nebraska basketball, feel hosed, jaded, shorted, slighted? If you're left out, and you can feel how you feel, but the truth of the matter is you didn't handle business. That is the fact of life. You could get a gift. UCLA got in a couple of years ago in 2015. Somehow, some way. Tulsa got in 2016. It can happen. And the NCAA committee will make their choices. They will pick their 68. And right now, the best thing that can happen after a very daunting week of waiting for Nebraska is with this new TV setup, you're going to know who's in the first 15 minutes. The Band-Aid will be ripped off of your hairy leg. Or it may stay on and you'll be all good because you're in. But in or out, have you changed your mind the more you've thought of it? You see Coach Miles out there talking, being proactive in the media, on social media. Get the word out there. Plant the seed. Make those 10 members think about it a little bit. Can't hurt. But don't complain. No matter how hard you try, how hard you wish, don't complain if it doesn't become true, is my thought. We'll talk with Mitch Sherman here. He had a fantastic story on Team Jack, the Hoffmans, and the Gala. We'll also talk some college basketball with Mitch. Bill Dolman, maybe you've been reading a lot of Dirk's series on Nebraska basketball and Danny Nee. I've enjoyed those a ton. Bill Dolman lived a lot of those years, part of the golden era. Bill was working with ESPN and doing a lot of half times. There was a number of times poor Bill Dolman was sandwiched into the floor section to do his halftime reports during that knee era. So we'll spend a little time talking about that. And Rick Pizzo, who just got done talking with Tim Miles. Nebraska basketball, do you feel better about their chances to get in? Do you feel the same? Or are you more gloomy? There's still a lot out there. Maybe you're over it. You've resigned yourself to maybe next year happens. But Nebraska's out there doing a bit of campaigning, getting the word out there. A couple of sites have Nebraska in. And that's kind of up to you if you believe that those sites are accurate. A couple of teams that are on the bubble we'll talk about that need to go down for Nebraska, Oklahoma State, and Arizona State. Sauter Heyman out there, Rick and the gang, always in the mood to help you when it comes to March. They're the Nebraska exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, and you can see Rick today, and he'll pick out a pure-grown diamond, 100% sustainable, 10 to 40% less than earth mine diamonds. And you can see Rick today, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, around Weston, Grand Island. You can log on to SauterHeyman.com. Let's get caught up. Mitch Sherman next on Hail Varsity Radio.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, want to start off with your story today on the Hoffmans, Jack, and the team Jack Gaedler. We'll get into some Nebraska basketball stuff here in a little bit as well, and some Scott Frost thoughts. But you did a great story on the Hoffmans, the follow-up, and this spring is 5 years on Jack's run.
Yeah, Chris, good to talk to you on this snowy day.
I can't do anything for you, brother. It was 60 degrees. We had the grill going this weekend, and I know that you looked out your window this morning and just gave a very sad stare, didn't you?
Yeah, you know what? I thought, and I don't want to get too sidetracked here so we can talk about Jack, but
right.
I thought that this was going to be one of those snows where I wouldn't have to touch my driveway because it was March and it was going to either blow or melt away.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home this afternoon and I looked at some of my neighbors coming through my neighborhood and their driveways were clear and hadn't been shoveled, it appeared. And I was like, oh, it must have blown away or melted. And it had apparently all blown into my driveway because it was a disaster. And then I was in denial about getting the snowblower out. I was like, it's like admitting defeat. It's March. I'm just going to shovel this. And that was not a good idea. So anyway, that's why I might sound a little winded right now. I just finished up.
No, you're good. You went surrender cobra on the driveway.
I did. Hands in the air. Yeah, exactly. The story on Jack, of course, has been told over the last 5 to 7 years. And, you know, this is the latest chapter. They had the big gala last month downtown at the Embassy Suites in Lincoln. And so many, a couple dozen ex-Huskers led by their crusader, Rex Burkhead,
mm-hmm.
who got this whole thing started back in 2011, with Jack and his family. And, you know, they went over the $5 million mark at that event. And, you know, it's more than just raising money. The stuff that they're doing with the money is incredible. Nationally, funding clinical research and some new drugs that specifically target the cancer that these kids are stricken with, instead of just bombarding their bodies with bad stuff. So the Team Jack Foundation has been great in that area, and a huge thing that they've done and made the announcement at the event last month is the $1.5 million that Team Jack committed to UNMC was matched by the state legislature. We knew that. So they had $3 million for this initiative to fight pediatric brain cancer, and now they've hired they announced the hire of a doctor from Michigan who is the first, well, will be when he comes to Nebraska, comes to Omaha this summer, the first pediatric neuro-oncologist in the history of the state of Nebraska. And that is, it wouldn't have happened without the work that Rex Burkhead and the Hoffmans and all of the people who are associated with that have done. So incredibly cool event to go to and great people to be around.
Mitch Sherman's with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Log on ESPN.com and read his story on the Hoffmans, Jack, and Rex. What's been going on? You know about Team Jack, but it continues to thrive, and they continue to raise money for the fight against pediatric brain cancer. They continue to find ways to generate money for helping families, but also the research that goes into better treatments. And that's something that Andy has always been very adamant about, is finding the best way to combat this disease. And that's where he's put so much elbow grease into. I want to get your take here on the number of the Huskers that and now NFL guys that are so a part of this Team Jack fundraising and gala. I mean, this class with Rex and Searles and Kenny Bell and there's so many guys, they take so much pride in being able to help and be a part of it, man. That's the last class to get to a Big Ten championship game, but it's also a class that kind of comes to my mind that they are so very adamant about outreach and giving back. There's been a lot of history documented about Nebraska players giving back, but this thing's kind of a high, whole new level.
Yeah, it's not just one class. I mean, those guys that Rex was with.
Yes.
You know, Rex hosted Kenny on his official visit. I didn't know that. I mean, the story had probably been told before, but talking to Kenny last month, you know, we were talking about Rex, and I feel like everybody that I talked to at that event, it ends up just turning into a conversation about Rex and like what superior form of human he is, and it's always kind of seemed like that with Rex going back to even when he was in high school. And he's one of those guys, one of the few guys I've ever met or been around as my job, who has truly lived up to the hype, because they all come out of high school with hype. They're all the greatest person ever, and you know, they're the greatest running back, the greatest quarterback, whatever it is. But you know Rex lived up to it as a player on the field at Nebraska in what was not the greatest era of Nebraska football. You know, they had a couple good seasons, but you know, it wasn't like he was running with Mike Rozier's offensive line,
right,
or Amon Green's defense. So it's supporting him. But you know, what he's done off the field far outshines the accolades on the field, the things he's done on the field. So, anyway, he's passed that legacy on to a guy like Nate Gary, who was there. And Nate didn't play with Rex. He came in as a freshman in 2013, the year after Rex's senior year. And he's somebody who came back for this thing. So it's not just that class, that 2009, 10, 11, 12 group. It's the guys who are after them, and I think they're going to continue to, so I know they're going to continue to support this cause. Barrett Rood and most of the Nebraska assistant coaches were at the event, and you know, one thing I'll say too is that they were showing all of the names of all of the cancer patients on the projection screens during the dinner. And they all had a sponsor, some kind of a sponsor. And I don't know exactly what the details of that sponsorship are. Clearly there's, you know, some kind of donation involved or whatever it might be. They, of course, are looking for donations in all different kinds of ways. And each of the kids had a name that flashed up. He was sponsored by this person or this person. And Jack's sponsor was Bo and Mary Pat Pelini. Yeah. So, you know, for all that, you know, the history, the water under the bridge, you know, everything that we've been through, that Nebraska has been through in regard to the Pelinis, I think it's important to know. You know, they're not looking for any publicity for that, but they're definitely still involved. And they're the way that they care for that Bo and his wife care for that cause is very much evident. Certainly not something they need to do, but you know, they have a strong connection to Jack and that whole group.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, his story up today on Team Jack, the Hoffmans, and Rex Burkhead. Please read that if you haven't. Great stuff from Mitch. Mitch, want to shift gears to Nebraska basketball. Coach Miles is kind of starting the chant that he thinks they're in. I just did an interview with BT Ed. I know I just was like, it's NIT time, babe. I mean, that's just where we're at. And there's a couple sites out there that had Nebraska in and not just as a play-in. I got to ask Mitch Sherman here, if Mitch was a betting man with Monopoly money, are you leaning NIT or an NCAA selection committee surprise?
I think it's going to be the NIT. You know, they had their opportunity, and that's the way everybody characterized it when they were going to New York, was this is an opportunity for Nebraska to get off the bubble and get into the tournament. And, you know, Michigan played great basketball all week last week in New York, and unfortunately Nebraska got them in Nebraska's first game. So, I don't think there's any coming back from that. I've definitely been wrong on this kind of stuff before, and I know they've got some advocates on the committee and a strong one in Bruce Rasmussen who chairs the committee, but, it comes down to the resume at the end, and I think the lack of quality wins is not going to be it's going to be too much to overcome for Nebraska to get in. But, hey, you know what? If that thing comes up and the Huskers are going to Dayton next Tuesday, there are going to be a lot of happy people to play in that play-in game. So it's definitely an outside possibility, but I think it's more likely they're going to be back at PBA hosting an NIT game.
What can Bill Moose do, if anything? I mean, he knows 7 out of 10 on the committee.
Yeah, there's not much you can do. I don't think you're going to change any minds.
Let's have a sit down. Let's talk. Let's have some. Some peanuts and beer.
Chuckle. I chuckle at that, and not just with Bill Moose, but I've heard that kind of. That strategy mentioned, you know, in postseason baseball. I remember covering old Big 12 baseball tournaments where a coach would get knocked out and say, all right, I'm going to go work the phones and call the committee. That's okay. You know, I don't know what you're going to accomplish there. Hey, you know, Bill Moose can call up Bruce Rasmussen or whomever he knows on the committee and go, hey, look at us. You know, we've got 22 wins and 13 in the Big Ten and this and this and this. And, you know, we shouldn't get penalized just because we had some unlucky scheduling. And those guys know all that. You know, they've been the committee guys have been watching college basketball all season on TV and in person when they can. And Nebraska has had plenty of exposure to the committee. So there's not really anything that Bill Moose or Tim Miles can say, I think, to sway a committee member at this point or to, you know, enlighten the committee member at this point. It's going to come down to only to the conversations that they have in that room in Indianapolis this week. And, we'll see. We'll see. The stranger things have happened for sure. There have been teams with that have been sitting in Nebraska's spot and have made it in and surprised a lot of people. It wouldn't be the most unusual pick by any stretch.
Mitch, I have like 40 seconds. I want to go to UCLA, and obviously the name on the front. But they got in back in 15, and that was the upset of the dance that year, the fact that they got in. I don't remember the scenario. What got them in? Was it their reputation?
I don't think that really happened. I think that there's a lot of concern about that, and I've heard that concern from Nebraska people, you know, saying, hey, if you switch our resume out with North Carolina, you'd be a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that's the case. I think I give the committee more credit than that. Mm-hmm. If they look at it, and part of their process is to look at the resumes with no name attached. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an easy road to walk down as a fan or a member of the media to think that the name on the front of the jersey gets you in. And there is a bit of human nature that plays into it. I mean, don't think that the committee wouldn't give Oklahoma just a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because you want to have Trae Young in the NCAA tournament. This tournament is about making money, and it's about showcasing your best players. So if Trae Young plays 1 year of college basketball and there's a chance for him to get in, I think that maybe he gets in because of that. Oklahoma does. But in the end, it's about what you do, not who you are.
Mitch, you're awesome. We'll get caught up next week. Thanks for the time, bud.
All right. Good talking to you. Thanks, Chris.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back. Good stuff. Mitch Sherman was just with us, ESPN.com and magazine. Great story on Rex Burkhead, Team Jack, and also some Nebraska basketball thoughts. Coach Miles thinks they're in. We'll talk with Rick Pizzo in 25 minutes. Rick sat down with Coach Miles here earlier today on BTN. We'll get the rundown of that. It should be floating around out there. So Miles thinks it's all good. History says they're in. Let's talk some college football. Let's talk some Nebraska football. And Bill Bender, Sporting News. I like reading him. Bill Bender has Nebraska at 8 wins. How's that grab you? First thought is what? High? Low? Just right? Wishful? Okay, and that's a number. And you have two factors that make that number extraordinarily high. Transition and schedule, right? Transition and schedule. So the way Bender spins it and talks about it here, enthusiasm super high. Road schedule is murderous with Michigan and Wisconsin and Northwestern and Ohio State. 8 wins would be a successful season. There you go. Okay. I think it's going to be, and I hate to go back to this term, but the eye test will take care of you with the football team. The eye test really can take care of you with a lot of things in the world of sports. And I want to know how you think Nebraska can get to 8 beyond the, you know, go get one against Iowa and get one against Michigan. Yeah, obviously. But how's Nebraska do that? How do they get some road wins and beat Sparty at home and get Iowa to close the year and do all of that with a new system on offense and defense with personnel that haven't been in games together? It's a lot to ask during the spring game. And it's even more to ask during the regular season. Now, I can tell you in future years how and why they'll get to 8, 9, 10 West Division titles, Big Ten championships, college football relevancy and recency. I can lay out all of that. Strength and conditioning, build for depth, having exceptional playmakers on offense, being faster than anybody or on par with Ohio State speed-wise and Penn State speed-wise in the conference. I can tell you how they can get to 8, 9, 10, 11 consistently. How do they do that in year one? Well, let me give it a try. Colton, you can turn me off if you want. But the speed that they have and some of the young kids they've recruited, they let them go play. There's not a lot of familiarity. And you're just so new, there's not real answers for you because you haven't seen this. You can study it, but good luck simulating it if you're a team. And you got to hit it and be awesome right away. I mean, you just fall into an awesome situation. And that may happen. Mm-hmm. That may happen with quarterback play, with line play. Two is turnovers. Not many of them on your end, and you're bringing that recipe to go get the football through aggressive play, and it hits again with your personnel. Can you find a Griffin out there to go get the quarterback? Well, you've got some dudes that are talented, but Shaquem's pretty special. Can you get some interceptions? Can you get after the quarterback? Can you make some tackles in open field? Can your offense put up half a hundy and let you be that aggressive on defense? Those are all major questions. Three, and this isn't in any specific order, but quarterback play. Central Florida blew up last year because they were really good. They had talent, but they also had just a phenomenal stud in Milton at quarterback. And Milton didn't start out the 2017 version. He took over after four games. There you go. He took his lumps his first year on his way to 6-7. And then it blossomed this year. Well, do you have a guy in the quarterback room on the roster that nobody's seen? I mean, you've seen a little bit of Patrick O'Brien, but it was in we're getting killed mode with the Minnesota and Penn State game. So do you have a guy on the roster that only you know about and you say, wow, this dude's ahead of schedule in Jebbia, in O'Brien, in Martinez? And that may be the case. That may be the case where you have a guy come in and he's Marcus Mariota. But even Mariota redshirted. Okay? So that's what I'm laying out as to how you can get to 8. The other part of this is confidence. Mm-hmm. If you get a big win early, and that big win could be against Colorado to give you some confidence at home, then maybe you go play really good football and it continues to springboard you at Michigan as you navigate the rest of the season. I think they can totally get better. I think by midway point and end of the year, if they don't have bad injuries, they can be a really good 2008-esque football team where that team got a lot better and you walked into some really good talent and you had to tap it. And what you tapped was incredible a year later on the defensive side of the ball with Sue and Dijon, and I mean, just go down the list with Prince and Fonz. I mean, they were incredible, but you didn't know you had all that. You had to get it out of them. And I don't have any doubt that Frost culturally will get this team to perform at an extremely high level. If they don't, the guys won't be here. The players will move on. The writing is in ink on the wall on how you're going to win football games at Nebraska from Scott Frost. You're going to be meaner, tougher, stronger, and faster than everybody. That's the goal. So that's kind of laying out, in my opinion, okay, if 8's something that would be a successful season, that's a high number. I think 8's fantastic. I think 8's achievable. But that's how you get to it. 7-5, more likely. And do you get through the year without any injuries? How crazy is the transition? There's a lot of caution out there by the head man himself about building it right versus doing it fast. So, yeah, it could be year two, year three before you contend. And it's going to be one of those years where you're not going to have Kansas or Iowa State circa 90, 92. Well, bad year to pick. You're not going to have Kansas or Iowa State 1985 on the roster. You're not, because you're jumping from Michigan to Wisconsin to Northwestern to Penn State and then to Iowa. I mean, you're just going A to B to C to D. That's just going to be incredibly tough. But it'll be fun to watch, exciting to see, and you have a lot of hope and faith that this team's going to be pretty good because of who's leading it. I think that's all very relevant as to how they get better in a decent amount of time. But 8 wins year one, that is a lot to ask. But they might have the talent on the roster that is 8 win, not the mentality of 4 wins. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, going to be with us. Great to be with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Mitch Sherman, dynamite this first hour. You miss any part of the show, podcast us, hailvarsity.com or iTunes. Be sure to check out Derek Peterson and his podcast with the Hail Varsity Gang, the Varsity Club podcast. And subscribe to Hail Varsity, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. The digital or the magazine, 855-3-HUSKER. Texting and driving, please don't do it. Please don't do it in this weather or any weather. Stupid things you could do, but that list is short. Behavior is always dangerous for every driver all the time, no matter how safe you think or how good you think you are at texting and driving. When you send a text or take a text in, it takes your eyes off the road an average of 5 seconds. That's like driving blind at 55 miles per hour. that increases your crash risk by 23 times. Texting and driving also illegal. You can get fined between $100 and $300, so no message more important than your life, the lives of your passengers, and others on the roadway. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Let's do that, 466-3776-800-825-5865. Colton, you need to chime in here. 79.3% chance Nebraska makes the NCAA tournament. That, according to the website, Coach Miles tweeted out. You thumbs up? You putting money down on this?
I want to.
I mean, you're going to do a tattoo of this team if they get it.
I've been signed up to do a tattoo.
I would do a tattoo, except that, let's be straight. I mean, I no one wants to see me with my shirt off, first of all. Second of all, me and Needles aren't cool. And this would be your third or fourth tattoo anyway, right?
It would only be the second one.
Because you have the entire Husker Fight song tattooed on your back.
That's next.
You have Hail Varsity tattooed on
right.
your back.
That one's done.
That's drying.
Right. No, I want to say they're in. I really do, but I want to say that.
Yes, that's just it. Want.
Right, and I want to be able to say they got hosed if they don't get in, but at the same time, they didn't do enough.
Here's the deal. I don't know that Nebraska fan on Sunday, if they don't get in, is going to be angry and feel like they've been hosed or slighted. I think they're going to be disappointed that they didn't get in because they didn't handle it.
Yeah, that's more of what it is. It's like I said, I want to be angry, but I want them to be in. But at the same time, you can't really be too mad about it because if they would have won one more game, maybe two, it's probably a completely different story.
You don't get blown out by Michigan. You don't lose to Kansas. You don't. I still like my idea, though. Dayton, date night in Dayton. Thursday, Coach Craig Smith, South Dakota, and Coach Miles in Nebraska. There's your play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 2-12 seeds, and let's rock and roll from there for the right to go play a 5 seed. I want it. I hope South Dakota wins, and I hope Nebraska is in Dayton against South Dakota. That'd be phenomenal.
I think you just have to hope for a couple of – maybe a couple of –
You need Louisville to take a nosedive. You need Arizona State to lose. You need USC – and UCLA to lose. You need Texas and Baylor to lose.
You need chalk,
I've got a list.
You also need blowouts,
I've got a
too.
List.
Yeah.
I have got a list of things to wish for this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Need Marquette to get whacked. You just do. There's people in line in front of you. And if they get removed in handcuffs, you just move up in line. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour two, great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. Tremendous interview with Coach Tim Miles on Big Ten Basketball and Beyond. A host, analyst, and he's back from New York City, Mr. Rick Pizzo. Big Ten Buffet time with Rick Pizzo at BT and Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, how are you, sir?
I am recovering, we'll put it that way. I had Monday off after 5 days in New York City, 5 days and nights, I should point out, in New York City. Awesome tournament, much better turnout than even I expected. Remember, I was one of those wait-and-see guys. I wasn't just jumping in feet first. I needed to see the proof in the pudding, and man, was it awesome.
It looked pretty electric from back here. We had an insane watch party down in the rail yard, and It was still a good party, just the wrong result if you're a Nebraska fan with Michigan going Michigan. Man, they look great. I think you'll see that on Sunday with their seeding. Rick, let's start with what happened Friday, your reaction to that. Then we'll get into Coach Miles' sit down with you. But overall, how'd you feel about Nebraska going into that Michigan game? We know about the opportunity, but the end result was pretty compelling that Michigan came to play.
it was compelling, but I also think, Chris, that the writing was on the wall a little bit. When you look back at what Nebraska did to Michigan during their regular season meeting, you consider what a good coach John Beilein is, and you also have to take into account the fact that Michigan's defense has gotten better with every single game this year. So they were going to answer the bell. They were going to play their best. They knew what was on the line. And you also have to remember, they got a wake-up call on Thursday. They had to go to overtime to beat Iowa.
Right.
Sometimes when you play that Thursday game and you get your feet wet and you find your footing after a little bit of a stumble and you play a team on Friday that's had to wait two additional days to kind of get things going for the tournament to start 48 hours before, you see it a lot. I'm not going to say that I was not disappointed in Nebraska's performance, because I think they could have showed out a little bit better. But I don't think the result was all that surprising. They lost to one of the hottest teams in the country. It's that simple.
It is. And the thing that I looked at with Nebraska, that the first 5 minutes, they played great. They were up by 4 points. The shots were falling. And then 1 for 20, you know, the next 20 attempts. And I just think they're a team that is so different away from home. There's comfort, there's energy. Yeah. They're tremendous at PBA. You've been here, you know that. And they've been good on the road this year, but when you amp up the importance and stakes and the opponent away from home or the neutral court, that's something that I think will kind of hang around with the committee on Sunday.
Yeah, unfortunately, the committee made it clear at the beginning of the year that home wins were not going to be as valuable as road wins. And Nebraska's been phenomenal at home. I mean, they're one shot away, basically, from being an unbeaten home team. And they didn't make their conference schedule. Tim Miles had nothing to do with the fact that they played Michigan State once, Purdue once, or Ohio State once, all on the road. Among the other top five seeds, only Michigan is left. They got them at home and absolutely dirt-rolled them. So you don't control the schedule. What you do control is the end of the year and losing to Illinois. I think if you beat Illinois or if you beat Kansas, if one of those two things happen, this conversation is a lot different to people outside of Lincoln. If both those things happen, this conversation is over. There's no debate about whether they're in the tournament. Obviously, those are a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. There are people out there saying they have no chance. I think that's ridiculous. I think they're absolutely part of the conversation on Sunday, and I think Tim would be the first one to admit this. If the committee goes simply by the metrics and goes by the quad one wins, Nebraska's in trouble. If they utilize the eye test, as I think they should, and try to figure out whether Nebraska is one of the 33 best at-large teams in the country, then they're in. There's no doubt about that argument. You're just not sure which way the committee's going to go.
Well, and from the eye test standpoint, that's kind of been the running argument all year as we got down to gut check time, right? And the lasting image is the Michigan game. How do you weigh that if you're the committee based on, okay, Nebraska's eye test is really strong all year, and then your chance to kind of show up was met with a sledgehammer?
It was, but I think this is a case where playing the tournament a week early and having that game be 9 days before Selection Sunday as opposed to 2 days before Selection Sunday could help. The committee is made up of human beings. Human beings have very short memories. If that game were on Friday and the way they performed and the fact that Michigan won that game handily, I think would hurt them more if that game were played this coming Friday. I'm not saying it's going to be the difference. I just think that they're one of the teams that could actually potentially benefit from the tournament being, 9-10 days before Selection Sunday.
Out of sight, out of mind, good or bad, right? The fact that there's some breathing room. Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Network, Big Ten Buffet Time with Rick at BT and Rick Pizzo. Big Ten Basketball and Beyond aired about an hour ago or so. And Rick, you had a chance to sit down with Coach Miles. I've seen it on Twitter. I had a chance to catch the sit down. Great work as always from you. And Coach Miles, man, never disappoints when he gets to sit down and you get to do one-on-one with him. What'd you take away from his sit down with you?
You know, it's funny because Tim is such an entertaining guy. He's got a great sense of humor. But I hope it doesn't take away from people knowing how smart this guy is. I mean, he is not just basketball smart. he's just plain smart. You start talking math with him, as I did in New York City, about the quad one wins and the quad two wins and how they break down all the quadrants beyond just whether it's a win inside that particular box or not. He knows his stuff. He made a compelling case. There have been 61 teams in the history of the Big Ten that have won 13 conference games. Do you have one guess, Chris, as to how many of those 61 teams got NCAA tournament invites?
All of them.
Yep, every single one. And I keep going back to the fact that bracketologists believe Nebraska should be punished because they didn't play the Big Ten's best twice. Again, they have nothing to do with that. Tim pointed that out as well. And one other very important thing to remember, it's not just about now, it's about then. And you remember what Minnesota was when Nebraska laid it on them in the second Big Ten game of the year? They were a top 15 team, I believe, that had Reggie Lynch on the floor, Mayor Coffey was playing, Dupree McBrayer was 100%. They were a team that looked like a Big Ten championship contender. And Nebraska beat them and beat them pretty handily. I hope the committee looks at that win as they should back in early December, not what Minnesota is now, because this is an entirely different team than the one Nebraska beat.
With this committee and with Rasmussen, and I think they'll take a look at who you played, when you beat them, and who was full strength, who wasn't. I think Nebraska's in good shape there. I don't know that there's a way around the reality of the Big Ten's middle class being down, i.e. Wisconsin, i.e. Indiana. I know they've had a coaching transition, but they were good. And Penn State's just really weird. I'd love to count them as a big-time win because they're good. They pushed about everybody in the league. They've swept Ohio State three times. And Penn State's, you know, kind of a conversation from a bubble standpoint, too. And Nebraska crushed them to end the regular season. You can count the Minnesota parts, but do you think the committee is going to take a step further and say, all right, when you did beat a team – and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't want to get, you know, arrowed here. But you beat Michigan at the end of a four-game stretch, or you beat Penn State at the end of their stretch where they had Michigan State, where they had Purdue, where they had Ohio State. Will they do it both ways here to give you the credit when you deserve it, but also kind of caveat when you did beat a team? Do you think they'll be that in-depth?
I don't think you can do that this year, especially inside the Big Ten, because – you had three or four teams who had five games
in 8 days
on one day, yeah. One day of rest. Five games kind of on a one-day rest period in between those games. And that's like no other season the Big Ten's ever had before. So everybody had to deal with that at different points. I want the committee to be in depth. To me, Chris, that's too nitpicky. You can look back at what a team was. I don't think you want to start to look at how much rest was between every game. Because if you do that to one team, you have to do it to every single team. And even if you just leave that to the Big Ten, there is no way those committee members have enough time to correctly or fairly assess layoffs with every single team that played throughout the course of the year.
Rick Pizzo's with us. Rick, your gut says what on Tuesday after talking with Coach Miles, after being in New York, knowing the committee and their process with the selection process and the vetting that goes on, your gut says what on Sunday?
My gut says there's a chance. My gut says there is a chance. I don't agree with the bracketologists out there who say there's no chance. I don't believe that's reality. Some things probably have to happen this week. Would really help if teams like Louisville and Syracuse lose early in the ACC, get Notre Dame out of there as well so the committee is not left to argue about what could have been with Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell. I think the ACC is a very important league to watch this week. Our friend Sean Morris pointed that out on Big Ten Basketball and Beyond. There's some other teams that are hanging around that were top 25 through the course of the year, but that played in weaker leagues. Middle Tennessee State, everybody's darling Cinderella, knocking off Michigan State and Minnesota the last 2 years. Really bad loss to Marshall to end their regular season. If they were to bow out early of CUSA, I think that opens up a spot. Perhaps the same thing happens for Nevada, who had a bad loss to end their regular season. So you have to look around the bubble, and what you have to do is hope for those teams to have early exits from their conference tournaments and hope that the committee is more about the eye test in basketball than quad one wins. If they do take all that in consideration, I think Nebraska has a legitimate shot.
What's your take on Oklahoma? I mean, you've followed them a bit. I know it's not the Big Ten.
Yep.
But they got the star player, and they've been on a monster nosedive.
Yeah, they have been, and Trae Young just hit the freshman wall. His numbers have still been crazy, and it's a year-long race, so I think he has as good a chance as anybody to win player of the year. I still think that Jalen Brunson is the player of the year, and I think Devontae Graham is up around number two or three for me. I love what he does for Kansas. I think Trae Young's exciting. I think Oklahoma did a lot in the beginning of the year. I just hope the committee is not swayed in any way, shape, or form by star power. This is a team that is cratering right now. And I know to the committees, you know, to be fair, they have said that the last 10, that momentum factor, that's not involved this year anymore. A game in November, December matters just as much as a game in February. I don't particularly like that. I think momentum should factor in, and you want teams that are playing well right now. But if Oklahoma gets in, I'm not so sure that there are going to be teams out there that don't have a legitimate argument over a team that has gone south in a hurry, and gone south at the wrong time of the year.
Rick, a thought here before we say goodbye on some spring football that gets rolling here the 14th of March. You have the Sporting News and Bill Bender coming out, and he's throwing out 8 wins for Nebraska football this year. That's kind of what he's saying. Your reaction to that number?
I think that number's fair. I think that number is a great over-under. I think anything above and beyond that in the regular season is a bonus. Remember, you're going to be breaking in new quarterback. You got some holes to fill on both sides of the ball, and a new coach who comes in with a ton of excitement and a ton of energy, but there is an adjustment period. I think 8 wins would be a terrific, terrific start for Nebraska in the first year of the Scott Frost era.
Rick, 60 seconds, the Rick Pizzo restaurant recommendation next time you're in New York for the Big Ten.
You know, Chris, unfortunately, that's the one thing I didn't get to do a lot of. We worked 15 hours a day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Didn't get out of the arena until about midnight. I had one decent dinner at a steakhouse in New York, but it's not a huge recommendation. I will tell you this. No matter where you are staying in Manhattan, no matter what you do, you got to find your way down to Greenwich Village. You want true New York pizza? Joe's Pizza on Carmine. It's the best I've ever had. On Sunday morning when I had some time, I made the 2-mile walk from the hotel up at Times Square down to Joe's. I figured it was worth 3 or 4 slices, and the 2-mile walk back to burn a little bit of it off. It doesn't get any better. That's the one must-stop shop when you're in New York.
What'd you get on it?
Oh, come on, man. First, you got to do their plain cheese. I know it sounds boring, but it's unbelievable. Then you do their fresh mozz as one. You got to get the pepperoni, and you go one all the way. If you can do all 4, you're a hero. But trust me, walk there and back. It'll help you feel a lot better about yourself afterwards.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, at BTN. Rick Pizzo, great interview with Coach Miles earlier today. Catch that at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, you're awesome. We'll get caught up next week, man. Thanks so much.
Pleasure's always mine, Schmitty. Talk soon, buddy.
See you, bud. Take care. There he is, Rick Pizzo, laying it out for you. Watch the ACC. He's right on with that. And Coach Miles done his homework. Look at me. I am not a guy that's screaming, Nebraska doesn't belong, Nebraska doesn't belong. No, I think they could get in and win. The door's cracked right now. There, based on what Coach Miles has tweeted out, website-wise, the door is cracked. Just look at me backpedal. I'm pulling a Dion here. Not as fast. Like the ultimate backpedal all-star is Bruce Pickens. Third pick overall, 1990 draft. 91 draft. Dude could crush anyone running a 40 and he'd backpedal it. Like I'm backpedaling a little bit. I still don't think they get in. It'd be awesome if they do. But I can, maybe. You're telling me there's a chance. Good stuff. We will get caught up with the Pride of Fairbury. Curling, the knee era, Nebraska ball. Bill Dolman next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
He is back from Olympic coverage on to college basketball, March Madness, and Tournament Time TV. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports is Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, you have missed me. How are you?
Well, I was fine up until that. I didn't realize I missed you, but I guess now that you mentioned it, maybe I did. I don't know. No, fine. Absolutely fine. Still on the high from working the Olympics for 3 weeks and helping launch the cult of curling across the United States.
Yeah, and how was that? I mean, it was interesting to watch. I know it's an event, folks. You got a kick out of folks having a couple beers and just kind of cheering it on. How was it, man? How did you soak it in?
Well, it was fascinating the first, you know, 3 or 4 days of the Olympics because curling had the stage. The mixed doubles competition started about, I think it was 3 days before the opening ceremonies. And so we were the only game in town, and it was fun to be a part of and to see the social media explosion during that time, and to see who was watching, to read, you know, what was being said, the seriousness, the snarkiness, which is what Twitter's all about. You know, it was really amazing how many people were watching and what they were saying. And it was fun. You know, it was a great event. And, you know, for the way it ended with, you know, the four average Joes, mm-hmm. you know, winning a gold medal, which, you know, sounded like the start of a joke, you know, a sporting goods salesman, an R&D technician, an engineer, and a liquor store owner walk into a curling rink, you know, and stick around for the punchline because it's golden. And it's what happened. I mean, it was a great story. And those are good guys. I had met Matt Hamilton at the Mixed Doubles Championships in Minnesota, and his sister and his family, and John Schuster. So, you know, those are guys that deserve the 15 minutes that they're getting right now, and hopefully it lasts a lot longer because it's a terrific story.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, NBC Sports. He's off to cover tournament action the end of this week for that punch ticket to the dance. Bill, you've done a lot of NCAA basketball. You've covered Bracket Busters, and you've also been a part of selection shows and also the selection committee mock selection process. Where does Nebraska sit right now? Coach Miles was just on BTN. He thinks they're in. History says he's in when it comes to the Big Ten conference record number. The time between the Michigan beating and the selection show could be good, out of sight, out of mind, from a eye test standpoint, the last impression you made. What do you believe based on your history and what you see with the NCAA tournament process?
Well, I think, you know, I said, you know, back when things were pretty dire at the beginning of Big Ten play, I said they had to finish fifth. And I believed it then, and I think to finish fourth in what is supposed to be a power conference and going 13-5, you know, that should speak volumes. You know, and it's not what Nebraska did or did not do. It's what the Big Ten did not do. You know, Nebraska took care of business for the most part. I said it a long time ago that loss at Penn State was going to be an albatross, and I still believe that may be the one that people look at more than any other, because you lost a winnable game on the road. You know, you can talk about the Kansas game and what might have been. You know, the loss to Michigan was ugly, but you also, you know, beat the crap out of them. I think that if a team 13-5 in the Big Ten Conference doesn't get in, then, you know, it's nothing on what Nebraska did or did not do. You know, and I guess it kind of speaks to what kind of power Jim Delaney has or does not have. If he's the most powerful man in, you know, in sports, or certainly in college sports, and he can't get that fourth team in, you know, then there's a problem there. And maybe it's it's Nebraska's fault for the schedule that it had, but, you know, they played who they played. And I think there's a benefit too, that Nebraska being on the Big Ten network people had enough opportunities to see them play. It's not as though they were stuck on obscure ESPN, you know, times, you know, late at night, like the West Coast Conference or something like that. You know, enough people watch the Big Ten, the Big Ten Network, that they saw Nebraska enough. And one of the last, it shouldn't really be the last, but one of the last tests that they said at the mock meeting when I went through it is, you know, shirts and skins, who wins? And I think if anybody takes a look at that Nebraska basketball team and wants to know, you know, if you played them, just played them, the eye test, that's a very good basketball team, and therefore they should be in. You know, it speaks to the fallacy sort of the NCAA tournament, that it's such a great spectacle, and it is for, you know, a couple of days. But the best 64, 68 teams don't get into the field. We all know that. If you want the best, then the best ought to get in there and stop playing around with these, you know, lower-level conferences that are great stories for a day and make a run every now and then. If you want the best, put the best in there, because I think Nebraska is certainly in the top 40, if not the top 35 teams in the country. The eye test tells you that.
Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, with us, Hale Varsity Radio, NBC Sports. Bill, World Herald's doing a series on Danny Nee, Nebraska basketball. Dirk's been doing that, and I've gotten a kick out of it. That's great memories for me, you know, walking to the Devaney Center and going to those games as a kid. You were in the thick of it with ESPN, ESPN Plus, doing halftime reports from below Section B, and you were also calling games. What sticks out to you as you transitioned from college to network work about Nebraska and Nee in the early 90s?
Well, they were fun. There's no doubt
They were a good time, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that was they were a show. There's no doubt about that. Danny was a showman. Anybody who was at Barry's back in the day would know that. You know, he was a great.
You got a Barry story about you and Ned, or not? Maybe even the E True Hollywood Story version.
I just remember being down there after games, and he'd hold court. You know, you'd be around the big Z table. Remember that one?
Yes, I do. I was 12, but yeah, I got it.
yeah, you were in there smoking, but you know, I just remember it being. It wasn't a rebel basketball team, and I don't mean that in a UNLV sense, but there was just something about that team that had character, and it had great players. And I think, you know, arguably the best player in Nebraska basketball history other than Bob Siegel in, you know, Teron Liu. So that was a special time. But I said this, you know, earlier this season, this Nebraska basketball team that Tim has – may not have that that rebel character to it, but that reminded me of the way Danny's teams played. They were athletic, they were confident. I think they were confident home and away, and there was a swagger to them. I think Danny's team had a little bit more swagger, but this Nebraska basketball team this year reminds me a lot of what Danny had in terms of athleticism and sheer basketball talent. I think the biggest difference, well, I shouldn't say the biggest, but on the court, I thought Glenn Watson would probably have developed a little bit more because I loved his freshman season, and he reminded me of Teron Liu. I don't think he's developed along those lines, and that's really, I think, what sets that team apart more than any other from the Nee era and the special teams that he had.
Bill, I want to get your take here about 3 minutes with the Big Eight coaches. I mean, I'm talking Roy and sit-down Norm and Billy Tubbs, the comb-over, and Danny. I mean, they all, like, hated each other. And they were all super aggressive verbally with each other. But then they could, I don't want to say shake hands, but be okay for a while. What was that like? I mean, it was crazy as a family. What was it like to cover those teams, I mean, those personalities in the league?
Oh, God, that's, you know, looking back, one of the fun times of my college days.
You had Eddie Sutton to throw in there, too. I mean,
I worked in the sports information office at Nebraska for Don Bryant. And one of my duties was, after basketball games, I had to go get quotes from the opposing coach. And I remember, you know, you'd be outside the locker room on the other side, and you know, Johnny Orr, you know, was another one. And I remember one time I was, you know, the Devaney Center was always such a busy place. You could have state, you know, the Big 12 or Big 8 swim meet, the Big 8 indoor track meet, and a basketball game all going on at the same time. And then that great crew of custodians could have that thing transformed, and you'd have wrestling and gymnastics, you know, that night. I mean, it was just an amazing place. But I remember one time they were playing Iowa State, and I had been covering the Big 8 track meet on the other side of the building, and I had to run down and cover the post-basketball press conferences. And I didn't see the game. It was when Chris Logan got into a fight at the end of or during the Iowa State game. And I don't remember who he fought. The punches were thrown. And I'm outside, and Johnny Orr comes out, and he's steaming mad. And I asked a question for some reason without even seeing the game. He looks at me and says, "You saw the GD game? Jesus Christ." I'm like, no, actually, I didn't see the game.
Did he call you coach?
But, you know, I remember that. I remember the place was, you know, just totally electric. But to think of the collection of coaches that conference had, you're right. You know, Norm and Billy and, you know, poor old Roy.
Yeah, and Eddie. Johnny.
Johnny,
perfect.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and Danny. Yeah. And Danny could hold court with any of those guys, you know. He may not have to have the basketball X's and O's, but, you know, Danny Nee is – maybe what Barry Switzer was to football, you know, it wasn't the X's and O's, the Jimmys and Joes. Danny got the Jimmys and Joes.
He did.
He could hold court with those guys, and he could certainly hold court with those guys when it came to storytelling and using the F word 15 ways to Sunday. His practices were maybe the most undisciplined shoot-arounds that I ever covered.
Bill, I've got the shot clock's on. Finish this story. Hang on the line for me, okay?
Well, his practices, you know, one of the...
Hang on the line. Hang on the line for me.
Okay.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
An extended segment with the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' is Bill Dolman talking Danny Nee era. Bill, you were talking about the practices with Danny Nee.
When you do a game, you know, you typically go in, and, you know, the day before, and then you go to shoot-arounds or practice on a Friday night or maybe on a Saturday morning. And Danny's guys like to do their own thing. And the one thing that I always remember more than anybody else, he would always be like, guys, listen. His guys would be going over and dunking and doing their own deal, you know. They were not the most disciplined of practices that I ever saw. You know, like a Kelvin Sampson could control his guys with his eyes.
Right. I would bet Danny could too.
it was, you know, then the language, and it was just a different, you know, a different era of Nebraska basketball, but a fun one. They were the Rebels of the Plains. I think that may be the best in thinking about it. They weren't UNLV, but they were kind of the Rebels of the Plains at that time. And I've been trying to think of who all was, you know, on those teams, you know, back then.
You got Bo Reed was, we talk with Bo quite a bit, Chubbuck Pike, Strickland.
Jose Ramos was on those teams, right?
There was an argument. Okay. There was an argument that happened, my friend. And
just checking.
Jose didn't make it back from Kansas City after the Big 8 tournament.
Just refreshing my memory, that's all.
Tony Farmer was there. Who else? No, I mean, that's just wheelhouse, man. That's what made Nebraska basketball awesome, and that's what you're trying to get back to.
It was fun. What, there's no doubt.
Last thought here. I know you got to run. The knee era, did it end too soon in hindsight?
Well, the famous, you know, call-in show when, you know, it just was time. Sometimes, you know, it's just time to move on. And it happens with, I think, a lot of coaches, you know, Rick Barnes at Texas, just time to move on. I think to a certain extent, Roy, you know, was Carolina calling. I think people were tired of Roy's act in Kansas. It just happens. And you got to go. And I think Danny had probably worn out his time at Nebraska. That Rutgers job came open, and then he made the famous comment that, you know, I never felt welcome here. And he'd been there for so long.
Like 13 years, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he'd been there, like, I thought it was 10, but, you know, Bill Byrne at Nebraska, it was just kind of time to move on when he left to go to Texas A&M. And I think Danny, to a certain extent, you know, it was the same thing. But he should not, you know, it was kind of like Dane Altman going to Arkansas and then, you know, pulling a mulligan and staying at Creighton, but, you know, the damage had kind of been done. Mm-hmm. And it was time to, you know, when that Oregon job came open, you know, it was kind of like, well, you better take it. And after Danny said that, you know, he was all in on Rutgers, it kind of became, well, like, okay. And then it didn't happen. It's mm-hmm. like, well, you better take whatever you can get when it comes your way. And that was that. So it was kind of, you know, it was an unceremonious ending, and it'd be, I don't know if there's still ill will or what. I mean, it would be pretty cool if there was some type of.
They need to get him into the Hall of Fame if he's not already, and bring him back.
Yeah, I think that'd be a wonderful gesture for Nebraska. That's what Nebraska people are all about.
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, is he? I mean, that's
I don't know.
To say.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a curling announcer, bro.
No, I know. I know.
Or,
but you had a mullet, my man, for that early '90s squad.
That was a fun era of Nebraska. After, you know, Cipriano had some very good teams, and Cipriano was a colorful guy. Mo Iba certainly was not. You know, you open up, you know, Mo Iba. If you had a box of 64 Mo Iba crayons, they were all brown and gray.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy, but. You know, just not what Nebraska basketball ever needed. And then to go from that to Danny was, you know, unbelievable.
I would have loved to have sat down and been a ice cube at the table with Devaney and Danny sitting down to get this thing hammered out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. That was, you know, I can remember stalking Devaney's bar at his office, and I'm sure that those two guys had more than one cocktail in there after hours.
You were in charge of that? Off the
I
record.
I think the fifth.
Okay.
But there were plenty of fifths in there.
No, I know. Dolman, you're awesome. We need a book.
Let me just, there were times where part of the duty that myself and my great friend Ben Boyle, the former York Duke All-Star,
okay.
He was in the Sports Info office with me, and there were plenty of times when they'd say, hey, could you go around to Coach Devaney's car? And he's got some stuff in the trunk
some
that he'd like you know, to bring in. And so you'd go and you'd get those boxes and you'd hear ting 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 ting. And then so you'd take him in. And
how often did you have to plead the fifth?
You didn't have to plead anything. Everybody knew kind of what it was.
No. I'm saying how often did you have to help with the luggage? How often did you restock that thing?
It was every now and then. It was cool when you'd have to go pick him up at the airport and they give you the keys to his Cadillac and. It was parked right outside, and you get in the Cadillac, and there was a little nameplate right above the glove compartment that said "built especially for Bob Devaney."
That's sweet.
And, oh yeah, yeah. But to think of the hiring process that Devaney went through when he hired Danny Mee, I'm sure that was probably a lot of fun.
Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Olympic curling, and trip down Nebraska basketball memory lane on Danny Mee and Coach Devaney. Bill, have a great week, bud. We'll get caught up with you after your tournament games the end of this week. What are you calling, man?
I've got the Big Sky Tournament in Reno, Nevada, beginning Thursday and Friday, and then back for ski jumping on Sunday.
Okay.
Nebraska, you know, which, again, my Nebraska background helps out dramatically. and then more speed skating the following weekend. So, you know, just typical Nebraska kind of sports.
No, I like it, and we'll be watching, but take care. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Yeah,
there he is, Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. See, Dolman's, like, just quiet about some things, but then you get him to open up about his role with Nebraska, aside from announcing and coverage. And then on the national scale, hey, Bill, yeah, go get Bob from the airport. And just Coach Knee, man, we're working on that to make it happen the next couple of weeks. We'd love to talk with Coach Knee, so we'll see if that can shake out. But that was fun. That was fun to hear from Bill Dolman. Colton and I will talk a little bit about the selection show. It's revamping coming up here in a little bit. And I want to remind you to log on. HailVarsity.com and magazine. Get that subscription today. Not only to the website, great premium content. Phenomenal work by Brandon Vogel, Greg Smith, Derek Peterson, Mike Babcock, Jacob Padilla, but the magazine as well. 10 issues under $30 for you. 855-3-HUSKER and HailVarsity.com. We'll close out a Tuesday next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Bill Dolman. Colton Stone is producing engineering, 80s action star. You really... top-notch show today. Loved it. Mitch Sherman was with us. Rick Pizzo joined us. And Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. We got a double down on Billy D. And the story of taking some of Devaney's luggage to restock his bar was pretty good. 466-377-6800-825-5865. I want to tell you about AgriGold. You might have seen that different soybean sign in your neighbor's fields this year. Yep, that's AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm, the AgriGold way. High expectations for every seed that goes into the ground is our approach to soybeans is no different. So high-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit AgriGold.com, 800-262-7333. Colton, what do you got going tonight?
Well, first I'd like to say I'm surprised I haven't had to get your luggage yet, Chris.
We don't have a bar here, man. I mean, half the time the wireless doesn't work. I've got a little desk in back that I'm very thankful for. So that's that. And, yeah, I haven't – come on now. I'm not going to make you or Danny go get my luggage. I'd share it.
I'm legal
you, yeah, you just hit 21. Was it the 28th?
7th.
27th,
yep.
Did I make you work on your birthday?
Yeah, but that's okay. Okay. I did go to class because I have class tonight.
I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you.
Says your jerk boss here. Oh, yeah, you had a birthday last week, right? No, happy 21st.
Thank you.
That was good. What did you do for – what'd you do for it?
After this, I went to class, and then
It was one of these you couldn't just ditch.
Yeah, it was once a week. The lab.
Oh, the Thursday night. Yeah,
yeah. And then we just went out, had a couple drinks, had some tacos, and just
good for you.
Just kicked it.
So. We did chicken tacos last night.
There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Now, do you fry the tortilla shell?
Ooh.
Because I get just stink eyed by the wife for doing that because ain't gonna make a mess, right? Well. No, so you get a flour tortilla, you put a little, I do olive oil, and you just fry it, and it makes it so much better.
If you can do it right, yeah, you fry the shells.
And I think she needs to live a little and do a little corn. Do the corn tortilla shell, too.
Not a huge fan of corn, but...
It can be done right.
Yep, I agree.
So you got to fry the shell versus just, otherwise it's a wrap, right, with shredded chicken in it.
Yep, exactly.
But she did, I will give her credit, she did put some sort of salsa in there. It was Crock-Pot Monday, right, with a little minced onion.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to run down Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. Steve is working hand-in-hand with Tanner Lee. We know how Tanner performed at the Combine. That is good stuff. We will also probably get in touch with some of our Hail Varsity friends. You miss any part of the program, can log on hailvarsity.com and get the iTunes, or just take the podcast with you. Select portions of the show will be on ESPNLincoln.com. Remember, root against the ACC bubble. Tim Miles may have changed your mind. I don't know if he's changed my mind about getting in or not, but a good discussion today on the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Find us at 4 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good one.